General Motors says that a lack of parts from Japan will force it to halt production at a plant in Shreveport, Louisiana, starting next week. It's the first time a U.S. automaker has stopped production in North America over parts shortages following last week's earthquake and tsunami in Japan. Toyota and Subaru have already slowed production at their North American plants to conserve parts. New reports paint a mixed picture of the state of the U.S. economy. On the plus side, fewer people applied for unemployment benefits last week, and the four-week average dropped to the lowest level since July 2008. Meanwhile, on the negative side, a report shows inflation jumped last month. Once again, higher energy prices, gasoline and fuel oil in particular, as well as food costs, were to blame. To get a handle on rising food prices in New York, we thought, why not check in regularly on the price of something everyone buys from time to time, a slice of pizza. Let's call it our slice index. In our very unscientific survey of several pizzerias in the five boroughs, the average price for a slice of plain cheese pizza is $2.50. We will revisit the prices next month. Investors took in all this news and sent the Dow 164 points higher. The index closed at 11,777. This week on the Financial 411, we've looked at various consequences as a result of the natural disasters in Japan, including the nuclear industry and charitable giving. Today, just how much havoc will the crisis in Japan have on our economy? WNYC's business editor Charlie Herman spoke to Mark Vittner, senior economist at Wells Fargo, to find out.
With all the recent ups and downs in the stock market, the dollar falling against the yen, there's a lot of fear out there. What should we be afraid of, and what should we not fear?
Well, there's an awful lot of things to be afraid of out there, unfortunately. The situation in Japan is awfully frightening. We've got several reactors in the various stages of possible meltdown, and we know that the economy was already severely damaged from the earthquake and the tsunami. And that's certainly going to impact global economic growth, and it's probably going to impact U.S. growth because we could see some disruptions in the supply chain. So that's one thing to worry about, and we've got the ongoing struggles with the European sovereign debt crisis that are still with us. We've got higher energy prices and trouble in the Middle East, and the world's a scary place right now. Here at home, things are actually a little bit better. I mean, we're a couple of years into an economic recovery that seems to be durable, but there's still some challenges out there, and there's an awful lot of people that have been unemployed for a long period of time.
Does it reach a point that the U.S. economy could be affected by all these different things that are happening around the world that our recovery perhaps could really start to slow down?
Well, fear is a pretty big motivator, and whenever we see that the perception of risk has increased in the economy, that causes businesses and individuals to pull back a little bit on making big decisions. In a sense, the risk-adjusted rate of return calculation that everybody does before they buy a car or a house or a business does before they hire a worker or buy a piece of equipment now has a higher hurdle rate, and you have to feel even better about making that decision than you did in the past because you're a little bit more on edge. And with more risk in the world, we're going to see less business investment, we're going to see less hiring, and consumers are going to be a little bit more cautious going forward.
So are we a little bit at that turning point?
Well, I think at this stage of the recovery, we can take some adversity and still come through it okay because there's not as much downside risk to the U.S. economy. When we see all of these troubles mounting, particularly overseas, what they're more likely to do is slow the rate of economic recovery. It's going to take us even longer to recover all the jobs that we lost in the recession. But I don't think it's going to throw us into reverse.
Are there certain things that make you optimistic about the future for the U.S. economy?
Well, hiring is clearly picked up. And when I travel around the country and meet with businesses, everyone says that they are looking to hire more workers. Now, that makes me feel better. But then once we start to talk, I said, yeah, but we're doing it slowly and we're being much more selective than we've been in the past.
So as you look out at all the things that are happening both globally and domestically, what is the most important thing to you right now? What's the thing you're paying attention to the most?
Well, what concerns me the most about the U.S. economic outlook is the large number of people that have been unemployed for long periods of time, because I think that really undermines our economy's long-term potential growth rate. But when I look around the world and I see all the litany of problems that we're facing, I got to tell you that what scares me the most is the Japanese situation, because there's still a lot of unknowns there. And we know there's a lot of physical damage in Japan, but we don't know how much damage has been done to the global supply chain. You look inside an iPhone or an iPad or a cell phone or a computer, and it's got parts from all over the world. But you can't put one of these things together with just 96% of the parts. If there's one key part that comes from the impacted area of Japan or can't get here because the logistics system's all clogged up, then production could slow significantly across the world.
Mark Vitner is a senior economist at Wells Fargo. He spoke with WNYC's Charlie Herman. And one last note, the New York Times unveiled its strategy for charging viewers of its internet content beginning March 28th. Prices start at $15 for 4 weeks of full access to the website. This is WNYC.